Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll start with reforestation. There are all kinds of variations on the theme of save the planet, plant a tree. And yes, trees do good things like provide shade and oxygen and carbon storage. No argument on any of that. But researchers recently published an analysis of the benefits of reforestation, and they appear to show that about half the time, nature might do as good a job as an active reforestation project. There are lots of details we need to add to that, and we have one of the seven researchers with us. Jacob Bukowski is an assistant professor at Oregon State University and the director of the Forests and Climate Change Graduate Certificate there. Jacob, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Talk about the starting point of the research and how it represents a bit of a departure from previous research into reforestation.
Sure. So expanding forest cover is really a common strategy for mitigating climate change at global scales. We see this in many countries across the entire globe. But it costs a lot of money to actually restore forests. You certainly can't do it for free. There's also many different approaches and strategies for restoring forest cover. So what our study sought to do is try to compare the economic costs and benefits of some of the more common approaches to restoring forest cover for climate mitigation. So we really focused on the two most common approaches. One would be using natural regeneration, which is just letting forests naturally recover in areas where you might expect them to regenerate. And then the other being establishing single species plantations, where you actually take a more active approach and go and maybe plant trees on the landscape. So we basically compared these two options across all reforestable areas in low and middle income countries. So it's 138 countries. And we compared the economic costs and benefits of these two options.
So let me understand, though. Was the initial point to put a price tag on reforestation or gauge the effectiveness or both?
A little bit of both. So it's trying to understand how much climate mitigation we could achieve through reforestation at what cost. So I think that there's a fair bit of science and studies that have kind of estimated the biophysical potential, so how much carbon could be sequestered in these forests if we did reforest broad swaths of the landscape. But we really don't have many numbers in terms of the cost of that. And so our study was a little bit of both, trying to understand the cost and, how much climate mitigation we could actually achieve.
I wonder how much the goals change when the lens changes, what the outcomes are. I mean, is the lens a bit different, for example, if you're talking about greater sequestration of greenhouse gases versus other potential goals like growing more wood?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And so... So it's kind of a tricky calculation, and we did consider wood products within our study. And so for those single-species plantations, we account for the production of wood products, whether that be timber or paper, and how much carbon would essentially be moved out of the forest into the built environment. So just kind of to maybe take a step back, if you think about that plantation system, you might plant trees. Those trees will grow. Of course, through their process of growth, they're sequestering atmospheric carbon dioxide in their biomass. And then when you go and harvest those trees, a portion of that carbon is then moved into, say, a house, if you were to use that wood to construct the house. If you then replant that forest, then essentially you can kind of recover the carbon that's in that forested system, and you also have carbon that's now in the building itself. And so it's tricky to kind of calculate this at broad swaths, and we did account for harvested wood products in these systems, and we compared that to kind of natural regeneration of forests, which has a slightly different kind of carbon calculus, if you will.
Reforestation and carbon sequestration, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange, as we talk to Jacob Bukowski, an assistant professor and the director of the Forests and Climate Change Graduate Certificate at Oregon State University. He was part of a research team that published some work in Nature Climate Change recently, looking at the cost effectiveness of natural forest regeneration or plantations for climate mitigation. We are live. We can take your input by email to jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned 138 countries and low and middle income. What was the thinking in which countries were selected?
Yeah, so We basically focused on low and middle income countries because this is where global reforestation programs and schemes are really targeted. I think there's a couple of reasons for that. As I mentioned, it's expensive to restore forest covers, or it can be. It's certainly cheaper than many of our other options for mitigating climate change, but it still does cost money. And so in these areas, it tends to be a little bit cheaper than in these high-income countries. You can think about the value of land, for example, so the opportunity cost of expanding forest cover. The land in low and middle income countries tends to be a little bit cheaper, and so therefore you can potentially sequester more carbon at a lower cost. So that just tends to be where these programs are targeted. These countries also tend to mostly be found in tropical regions, which are some of the most biodiverse areas on the planet. And so when you think about co-benefits or other benefits of these reforestation programs, if you think about natural forest regeneration or even some plantations, you can really have a lot of benefits for creating habitat for species conservation and the conservation of biodiversity. So it was kind of just a bit of this is where the programs are targeted, but there was some additional thought into focusing on these low and middle income countries.
I'm curious, Jacob, with reforestation, when it's deliberate, is it generally single species?
Yes. Yeah, we tend to see that when we think about plantations for harvested wood products. It tends to be just one or two species. Basically, we've hyper-tuned these systems such that they're almost agricultural systems, and we can really produce a lot of wood in a very predictable fashion. And so they do tend to be one or two species. But, you know, there are a handful of other approaches out there. Certainly people can plant a mix of different species, native species. I would just argue that we have more understanding and more practice in planting single species than kind of these more ecological mixes that are another option.
You were scanning for the cost effectiveness, but did you look at the carbon effectiveness too? I mean, any numbers on what the sequestration value was in natural regeneration versus single species plantation?
Yeah, so great question. So we can sequester a fair bit of carbon in these forests. What we found was that the amount of carbon that would be sequestered in both natural regeneration and plantations is equivalent to around 8 months of global greenhouse gas emissions. You know, that might seem relatively small, but it is actually more than what other studies have estimated. So kind of the global authority on this, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, they actually estimated 10 times less what we estimated for a given cost. So that would be basically at a price point of $20 per ton of carbon dioxide. So we can actually sequester a fair bit in these systems. We also found that when you combine natural regeneration with plantations, you're actually able to sequester more at a lower cost. And we found that it's actually cheapest across about half of the landscape to use natural regeneration and half of the landscape to use plantations.
And how do you make the decision on which is used where?
So it comes down to a variety of factors, and it's really based on nuance and the local site. Certainly, there are some key constraints. So if you think about natural regeneration, you need to have seeds in the soil or maybe nearby forest cover to allow kind of the seed source to enter that patch of land. If you don't have that, then certainly you're going to be thinking about plantations. Conversely, you can think about the cost of the two systems and what the other goals or the values of the organization who is trying to restore forest cover in that area. Are they more interested in producing wood products? Are they more interested in creating habitat for biodiversity? Kind of what are those additional goals for the reforestation campaign?
Reforestation, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange, as we talk to Jacob Bukowski from Oregon State University, an assistant professor there, also the director of the Forests and Climate Change Graduate Certificate. He was part of a research team of seven people that recently published about the cost effectiveness of natural forest regeneration versus plantations for climate mitigation. So how do you think people will respond? What kinds of responses are you getting so far to what you put out there?
Yeah, I think our message is one of nuance and really kind of arguing that a diversity of approaches is going to yield the most benefit at the lowest cost. And so some combination of plantations and natural regeneration is probably the best bet for these programs. What we've seen from national-level commitments to expand forest cover is a preference for tree planting. I think there's some inherent, you know, preference for planting trees. People like to do something active, and so planting trees feels good. But actually, you know, nature can do a lot for us if we just allow it to kind of respond in the way that it does. And so I think recognizing that natural regeneration can play a bigger role. We'll get more if we use kind of a nuanced approach and consider all of our options. That's kind of one of the key messages of our study. And, you know, certainly in the people that I've spoken with since it's come out, I think that message has resonated and people have been excited about that.
Based on what you said, though, about what needs to be present for natural regeneration to take place, it seems that there are some caveats. And so if you completely clear the land of trees and everything that helped make them, that really is a site that needs, I would think, a plantation or at least replanting because you've taken all the seeds and a lot of the other stuff that would have regrown things naturally.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly right. And so I think, you know, the question is identifying those areas where we do have potential for natural regeneration, which can tend to be a little bit cheaper than establishing plantations, and perhaps creating the conditions for them to naturally regenerate. So, for example, there might be barriers to natural regeneration, such as grazing on the landscape or, you know, frequent fire or degraded soils, whatever it might be. So you can come in and kind of tweak the management of that landscape to allow those trees to come back and naturally regenerate. But if you don't have that potential, then certainly you might need to think about a more active approach and actually planting trees.
My mind goes first to Brazil. Was that one of the 138 countries involved here?
That was, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so this is a situation where a lot of forest cover being lost. Is much being restored, to your knowledge?
There are some large programs that are really trying to restore forests across Brazil. You know, there's a ton of eucalyptus plantations that are kind of in the, they call it the arc of deforestation, but also kind of the Atlantic forest region of Brazil. So there's a lot of just kind of plantation forestry that is there. And that's actually one area in our study that shows up as being pretty promising for expanded plantations. And just because that region already has many plantations, and so probably the conditions are right for expanded plantation potentially in that region. I also know from other work that there are large reforestation programs that are happening in the north of the country where they're actually working with cattle farmers or just kind of pasture lands to try to intensify cattle, so reduce the amount of cattle on some portions of the pasture and then increase the number of cattle on other parts of the pasture and allow those areas where they've removed cattle to naturally regenerate or kind of restore back to forest cover.
So as we get to the end of the conversation, help out the person who's got that bumper sticker that says, you know, save the world, plant the tree. I mean, is this still a good advice?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that, you know, We need every tool in the toolbox. Reforestation is one option that we have to mitigate climate change. Of course, we need to reduce fossil fuel consumption, but we're also facing a biodiversity crisis. You know, there's a lot of benefits that come from trees that are not carbon related. And so certainly I think expanding forest cover and reforestation across the globe has a big role to play in mitigating climate change.
All right. So as you mentioned, one tool in the toolbox, many others in there as well. When we talk about getting rid of greenhouse gases, or at least reducing them or capturing them, the publication is in Nature Climate Change, dated July 24th. It's called Cost Effectiveness of Natural Forest Regeneration and Plantations for Climate Mitigation. Jacob Bukowski is the second listed author of seven from across several different institutions. He is at Oregon State University, assistant professor and director of the Forests and Climate Change Graduate Certificate. Jacob, thanks for sharing the research with us here on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks so much for having me.
It is a pleasure. This is the Jefferson Exchange. We'll take a short break and come back and talk about bull trout in the Klamath Basin. Stand by.